So jumping in this morning, we've been in this series, How to Avoid Regret, and once upon a time there was nothing, and God got tired of there being nothing, and so he wanted something, so he created the whole universe, and he just kept creating, and then ultimately saves the best for last, because he created you, he created us, he created mankind, and God is a creative God. God loves progress, and the Bible is a story. History is a story of things moving forward, everything moving forward, that there's building momentum, that there is a culmination, and that ultimately there is an end, and there's something hardwired in us to move forward and to pursue, from the time that we are born. There's something in you as a student, as high, middle school, high school, a college student, to want to pursue something. You're not sure what you want to do, or maybe you do, but there's something that compels you forward to be out of mom and dad's house. And for many of moms and dads, that they feel compelled for their kids to get out of the house. Some not so much. They want to keep them till they're 30. My philosophy was, I can't miss you if you don't leave. So, compelled, moving them forward, and you want to, and for some of you, you're looking forward to having a family, hopefully raising kids someday so that don't need a whole lot of therapy. They get a good education. You look forward to the day when they get out, buy their own groceries, pay for their own cell phone bill, all these things. Or you're in a career, you're in a company, and maybe you came in at an entry level, maybe you've worked your way up a little bit, but you're looking forward to not staying in that position for the next 20, 30 years. You're looking forward to that next opportunity to move forward, to get that promotion. Or there's something in you that drives you towards that next thing, something bigger, something better, something sleeker, maybe to grow your career or to build a retirement, something that in the last quarter of your life where you feel like that you can have more freedom, more flexibility in what you do, not have to work as much, all of that. But that it's moving towards progress, and that's the image of God in you and in me. It's in all of us to some extent, but especially for those of us that are hardwired for this, for progress and to move things forward. Maybe you have an entrepreneurial spirit, but you just want to drive things forward. We are set up, all of us, to some extent or another, for a very subtle temptation that can lead to regret and pain, because we can sometimes be a little too goal, a little too forward-oriented on things. And that's what we're going to talk about. See, we can get so focused on what we were made for, what we were educated for, what we've dreamed of, what we feel is next, maybe what we have prayed for. In some cases, it's just your vision for your life, your family, your relationships, your career is actually scripted by your Father in heaven, that he's actually created you with that bent and wired you towards that to move you forward. In fact, you may be absolutely convinced that it's not just an ambition of yours, but it's something that God has wired in you and that he is moving you and even calling you towards. And it may not even have anything to do with ministry. And the reason why that we're so set up for this particular temptation that we're going to talk about today is that our quest and our desire and lust for progress and to move forward and to get to that next thing that we want so badly is it sets us up to take shortcuts. It sets us up to take shortcuts. It sets us up for the day where in some small or big way we are going to be tempted to set aside, we're going to have this opportunity to take this giant step forward, and whether, again, it's in this career, this thing that we want, to take this something we desperately want, but to take this giant step forward, we're going to have to compromise something that we believe. We're going to have to compromise something that we value. It's going to seem like the next perfect step, the next perfect thing. It's going to feel like in the sequence, like this is going to make things so much easier. It's going to be something like kind of like a CLEP test, that you can take in college if you were one of those really super smart people, not me. But you can just like take this test and pay and like bypass an entire semester of classes and just get the credit, And so it's like if I can just do this one thing. But unlike a legitimate college test, in order to take this giant step forward to get to where you want and get to that next thing, you're going to have to check your morality, check your ethics, check your conscience, your values at the door. And here's the trick, not forever, just temporarily. Just for a moment. So I'm going to take what I value, what my conscience says is right, what I was raised to believe what was right or taught was right, what Scripture teaches, what I think and believe actually that God wants. I'm going to have to temporarily set all of that aside for just a moment. I'm going to do the deal. I'm going to grab the opportunity. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to make the decision. I'm not going to tell my spouse. I'm not going to tell my boyfriend, girlfriend, my parents. I'm not going to tell anyone. Or I'm going to sign the form. I'm going to sign my name. I'm going to pretend. I'm going to look the other way. I'm not going to make full disclosure. Whatever it is, I'm going to join the deal, accept the job, take the money. But to do that, in order to take that next step, to do the thing that actually there's nothing wrong with it, it's the right thing, I'm going to have to do the wrong thing to get it. And so I'm not going to become atheist. I'm not going to abandon all my values. It's just temporary, because in the world and the culture that I live in, and in the industry I work in, the people I work around, the level of income that I currently make, whatever it is, to be able to get to where I think I need or want to be, I've got to play the game by their rules. Not forever, just temporarily. But once I get to the other side, well, then I'll be a great witness, and I get to the other side, I'll be able to give more money, and you know, I'm just going to readopt what I ultimately value, but temporarily I'm going to set it aside. Now, what's important is it's important that you listen, because this will happen to you. You will eventually, if you haven't already, face this temptation, and you will face it more than once. It's just going to be in this moment of decision. And what's going to happen is you're going to discover two incredibly important things about you. You're going to discover who you are, and you're going to discover whose you are. In that moment of decision, you're going to discover the core of who you are, and you're going to discover how you prioritize your value. You're going to discover who you are and whose you are. And this was the place where the tempter finally brought Jesus in the third and the final temptation. So if you have your Bibles, you have the Bible app, you can pull up Matthew chapter 4. We're going to finish up this morning. Matthew 4, we've been going through these three temptations, and the point of this series is how can we learn from Jesus how to avoid regret? And we identified from the very beginning that every single regret that we will ever experience in this life has a starting point, and that for the majority of regrets that we have in our life, that there was a moment of decision, that nearly every regret that we have or will have in life, that there was a moment of decision where we knew the good that we should do, we knew the right, the better, the wise, whatever it was, we knew the good that we should do, but we didn't choose to do it. We chose to go the opposite direction. We looked at an amazing passage from Paul who talks about, there are those times that I want to do good, but evil is right there with me. What is this thing? And it's this battle. And so one of the things that's awesome about these temptations of Jesus isn't so much that he went through them, but that all a temptation that we will face falls into one of these three categories. So this is all of temptation rolled into one, the three temptations that Jesus faced. And all of these rolled up into three. The first one we talked about was to meet a legitimate need or desire in an illegitimate or improper or irresponsible way. And the week after that, we talked about the fact that we're always going to be tempted to manipulate God rather than cooperate with God. And today's temptation that we're going to talk, the last one, is to pursue the right thing, but pursue the right thing in the wrong way. To pursue the right thing, but in a way that causes us to temporarily, not forever, but temporarily, abandon what we believe, what we know to be true, what our conscience says is the right thing for the sake of progress, or to get that next thing that we desire, the thing that we want. And we look at the way the temptation went down in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, theologians debate like what exactly happened here. They have different perspectives. It could just be very well be that he took Jesus to a high mountain and that it overlooked Jerusalem, and that as Satan so showed Jesus Jerusalem, and you have all of these people from all over the world that are coming in there, that this represented the kingdoms of the world, because you had the Greek-speaking world, you had the Roman world, you had the Jewish world, you had the African world, you had all the kingdoms of the earth represented in this city. But here's what he says, however he does this. All of this, that is all of the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor, I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. In other words, if just in this moment you will submit to my authority, I will give you more authority. If you submit just temporarily, and not talking about forever, nobody else is here to see it. It's just us. If you'll just take what you know to be true, what you know in your heart to be true, and what you know to be right, and just set it aside just for a moment, just get under my authority, just for now, I will give you more authority. Now, if you're like me, especially when I first began becoming a Bible reader, I read this, and when I would read this temptation, I would think, like, why is this even a temptation? Like this is Jesus. You know, why is this even in a temptation. This is so important. This was a temptation for Jesus because this is exactly why he came. This is what he came for. See, when you play back the tape of the story, when God created man and put him on the earth, he says, I give you all authority. Everything on earth is under your authority. He says to Adam and Eve, everything is under your authority. I'm creating you. I'm putting the earth. I want you to go. I want you to name the animals. You know, this thing flies by. Adam says, fly. God's like, be a little more creative. I've made it all. Everything's under your authority. But when man shifted allegiances, when man said, no, God, not your way, my way, I'm going the other direction, guess what went with man? Everything under his authority. And so when Satan says to Jesus, look, I have the authority to give you all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor, the interesting thing is Jesus does not respond, you can't do that. It's not your right to give me that. Jesus doesn't argue. And one of the reasons why is because Jesus came to reclaim all authority in heaven and on earth. That's why when we look at the first phrase and what we refer to as the Great Commission in the book of Matthew chapter 28, what the first words are, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And see, this was an incredible statement because what Jesus was saying is now that I have died for sin, I have been buried, I have risen again, everything, all the authority that used to belong to the enemy now belongs to me. And I have reclaimed it. This is one of the reasons why Jesus came. And so Satan is standing there with Jesus and he says, I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. I want you, it's right there. It's right there at your fingertips. And again, listen, here's why this was a temptation for Jesus. Because what Satan is saying, I'll just give it to you. What that means is no suffering, no blood, no gore, no flogging, no crown of thorns, no being crucified, no breaking your mother's heart, none of that, none of all that savagery and suffering. I will just give it to you. It's why you came. God sent you here for this purpose, for you to take over and reclaim authority over the earth, for you to have this position. I'll give it to you. All you have to do is just submit, just temporarily, to my authority. I'll give it to you. This was a real temptation for Jesus. And if not already, eventually it will happen to you like it's happened to me and will happen again. This is a temptation you will face. It is that it's going to happen that you're going to be fixed and locked and loaded to go after this thing and this opportunity. And it may be the very thing that God has put you here for. Whether it's a romantic relationship or a business or a job or accomplishment, getting something, starting something, growing something, building something, whatever it is that along the way there is going to be an opportunity and more than one that comes along in your life where all you've got to do is just temporarily take your eyes off what you believe. All you have to do is just temporarily take your eyes off what you know is true, what you value, what you were raised to value, what you hope to pass on. You just have to compromise temporarily and temporarily remove yourself out from under God's authority. Just temporarily. So that and with the potential to more quickly gain more authority or more success or more wealth or more satisfaction. And see, the lie and the trick is, and the emotion says, this is just for a moment. Or this is just for a short time that I'll do this. I'm just going to bend the rules just this once. And then once I get on the other side, everything will be fine. It's like the comedian who once said, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle, and when I realized that the Lord in his wisdom didn't work that way, I just stole one and asked him to forgive me. Like God, it's not going my way doing it the right way. So God, I can play this game. I can just kind of go this way, go ahead and get what I want, and then come back and ask for forgiveness, and you're going to forgive me, and then we can just go on like it never happened. And when that moment comes for you as a teenager, as a college student, or a single person, or a young married, or you're in the middle of your career, maybe you reach a point, you know, you're moving through life, and you know, you feel like you're running out of time because you're starting to move, you know, towards 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. And it's like you're looking at all your buddies, like it happened for them, like in their 20s, and it's not happening for me. And so there's something, you know, I'm running out of time. And so if I don't do something, if I don't take control, it's not going to happen. If I don't get off this whole narrow Christian, do it right thing, and play by industry or play by cultural standards, it's not going to work out. It's never going to happen. And in that moment, we think it's just this deal. It's just this guy or this girl or this money, this closing or opening or job or position, whatever it is. We think the issue is the thing that we have our heart and our mind set on. But what the real issue is this. The issue is your peace. The issue is my peace. The issue is being able to go to bed at night and maybe look up at a dark ceiling and think, you know what? This isn't where I want to be, but I'm exactly where God wants me to be. This isn't where I want to be right now, but I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. It's the ability to, for those of you who aren't married or you are married, someday be able to look at your spouse, look your wife in the eye, look your kids maybe in the eye and say, you know what? This is where God wants me to be. Yeah, I could work an additional 20, 30 hours a week or take this extra job that's going to have me gone half the time. And man, that would move me forward in my career. But you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. Laying my life down for my wife. Being here to help raise my children. That's my calling, not the stuff I can give them. They are my priority. See, there's so many other ways and angles that this can come at, because the moment we take a shortcut and compromise what's important for what's immediate, what we end up saying is this, God, I'm just going to have to ignore you for just a moment in order to get to where I want to go. And when that happens, when we make that choice to ignore God, we lose our confidence in our Heavenly Father. And when we get to the other side, and some of us, and I can tell you from my own life, some of us have gone that direction, you get to the other side, and then you come back and you go, you know what, I got the thing, or I got the money, or I got the promotion, or I got the position, I got the whatever, I got the deal. And what happens is you get on the other side of getting that thing that you wanted so badly. And then the problem is, then now you have this feeling, now even more so, I'm not sure God's with me. Now even more so, I'm not sure that I can rely on God. Yeah, I asked for forgiveness, or maybe I started going back to church, or you know, I got all these peripheral things back up, but the problem is when the same temptation comes around again, which it will, you think I'm going to have to handle things the very same way I handled it the last time, because now I for sure don't know that God can be trusted, because now he's probably mad and ticked at me. He's not going to show up. You see, the very first week we talked about this, the temptation is always a test of your trust in God, not just your self-control. The issue is not the deal or the scholarship or the tax return or the game or the money, the team, the position, the promotion. It's not that. The issue is, if I let go of this opportunity, if I let this opportunity pass me by, can God be trusted? Can I trust him to get me to where he wants me to be? Or do I have to compromise the values and the principles of God to get there? Can God be trusted? So there stands Jesus. He is seeing, he is feeling, he's experiencing the kingdoms of the world, and he loves the people that make up those kingdoms of the world. And again, put yourself in his shoes. Like, he's thinking, like, There are going to be generations of people that die before the good news ever really gets out. And you know what? We could bypass some of this. We could shortcut. We could speed this up a little bit. And all I have to do is just get under the tempter's authority just briefly. But instead, Jesus does what he does every single time he was tempted. He reaches back once again into an Old Testament context where his people were about to move into the promised land. And God, Moses, knew that once they get in there, that it's going to be very easy for them to get their eye off of the ball. And so he's saying to them, hey, you're going to go in here and all of your goals for your city and the army, and you want to prove to all of these other nations that you're not just some slave state that escaped captivity, and you want your identity and to be respected as a nation, and you're going to face the temptation to abandon and to compromise in order to get there quicker than I want you and in ways that I don't want you. Too. And so Moses gives them a long speech, and he says, before you go in and do all you're about to do, remember who got you here. Who brought you to this point? You will never accomplish the will of God by abandoning the principles of God. You will never maintain the blessing of God by abandoning the values of God. So he says this, when the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, the land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you eat and are satisfied, and when, in fact, in other words, when everything is going well for you, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And here's the point how it relates to us. See, if you're a high school student or you're in college and think, you know, if I don't, he won't. I've got to do. If I don't compromise, if I don't fudge, just cheat just a little bit, and God's saying, hey, who got you to high school? Who got you to this point? Who got you to college? Well, you did, God. Of course. Well, why would I abandon you now? You know, who gave you your mind? Who gave you your family? Who gave you the opportunities to be able to get where you have thus far? Who gave you the desire and maybe the opportunity to go to college? Who made you to be born in a place and a time where you have the possessions and the resources at your fingertips that you have? Well, I guess God did. Right. Well, why would he abandon you now? Or here you are, you've worked your way up in that company, it's a chance for you to move up, and there's one slot, and there's 18 people going for that one slot, and you know there's a way that maybe you could just kind of do an end run, compromise the truth just a little bit, maybe kind of put the family on the back burner for a while, just a little while. God's going, whoa, who got you to this point? Well, God, I guess you did. Well, then why would I abandon you now? I mean, look back at your life. Don't forget. Look at the obstacles. Look at my faithfulness through your life. Look at the consequences that I didn't make you face. Look at the things that I got you through that you even have this opportunity. Why would we suddenly feel that God is not big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to take us where we need to go? And for those, you've got kids. And it's like maybe God gave you kids. Maybe there was a time you weren't sure you could have kids. It's like, and then you have a son or a daughter, or you have another son or daughter, and then they start to grow, and they were sick, and you prayed for them, and God showed up and created healing, or now they're like 12, 15, 18 years old. It's like you're not sure, and you're scared, and you're terrified, and you're worried about the future and the college and all of this, and how about them turning out and just feeling this need to control, and God saying, haven't I been faithful? Look. Well, yeah. Do you feel like you need to bend and break the rules to get your kids to where you want them to be? Well, but it just feels like exactly. It's a temptation to sacrifice what's important for what's immediate. And in that moment, you discover who you are and whose you are. So Jesus reaches back into this context. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 13, Moses says, "Fear the Lord your God and serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." And so reaching back into that context, Jesus grabs the last part of that verse and says this as he concludes. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" And then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. You know what Jesus wanted more than all of the kingdoms of the earth? Unbroken fellowship with the Father. You know what happens when we want the kingdoms of the earth and we're willing to sacrifice unbroken relationship with the Father? We get neither. Jesus wasn't willing to sacrifice unbroken fellowship with the Father for the kingdoms of the earth, and he got both. See, it's why so many of us have regrets. There's that moment where we finally get what we wanted, where we had to bend or break or ignore the rules, where we had to temporarily get out from under the authority of God, willing to sacrifice unbroken fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and we got to the other side and we had buyer's remorse. Because we paid the price and we got it, and we realized that what we paid really wasn't worth what we got. What is it that you want so bad? What is it that you want so bad that... And it may not even be a sin. The thing that you want isn't necessarily sinful, but what is it that you want so bad that you would be willing to bend or break the rules or ignore the rules to get out from under the authority of God, even ignore the authority of God, to sacrifice unbroken fellowship with the Heavenly Father? What is it or who is it that you want so bad that you feel like what you need to do is to violate your conscience? Is there something that you're dealing with that if you were to ask somebody else that you trust and respect, hey, what do you think about this? They go, no. No. So you don't ask because you don't want to hear no. You don't want that answer. But it seems like the only way. What is it for you? Because you're going to be tempted, as we said from the very beginning. And what's at risk with every temptation is your future and your family and your faith. Every single time. And you may get what you want, but here's the problem. Then you may never know what might have been. You may get what you want by compromising, but then you may never know what might have been if you had just trusted God. Because God actually had something greater than what you could ask or imagine on the other side of trusting Him. You aim too low. What do you want now, and what do you want most? And here's what I wish for all of you. And after I tell you this, you will decide. May decide, I don't think we can go to that church anymore. I don't like what Chad wants for me. I want for you to experience a day or a moment in time where something you want so badly is right there in front of you. And you have to walk away from it because you decide, this isn't the way. This isn't the time. To be able to experience that defining moment of I know who I am and I know whose I am. I want that moment of truth for you because I can tell from first-hand experience that there is a level of joy and soul-level satisfaction and a thrill that comes with kind of betting the farm that God is going to come through, that God can be trusted. I have experienced this in my life more than once, and you never regret it. And I want you to have a moment where you face a situation where there may never be an opportunity like this again. There may never be a deal like this again. It may be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's what you've dreamed of, you're made for, you prayed for. Yet a moment where you realize this isn't the way, this isn't the time, because for me to be able to get that thing is going to mean I have to compromise, and I wish that for you. And then in the midst of all the turmoil and indecision and the junk that goes with that, that you'll decide there is something more important, and that is unbroken fellowship with the Father. That you would choose to go to bed at night and say, you know what, I don't know how the future is going to play out. I may never have this opportunity again, but I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to bow. You go, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I wish that for you, because if you compromise, if you bow, if you break, you'll never ever know what God might have done if you would have just trusted Him. Because every temptation is a test of your confidence, not just your self-control. And the next time it comes around, you'll be even more tempted to compromise because you'll trust in Him even less. Your God can be trusted. Our God can be trusted. And He is the God that wants to intersect in the details, the nitty-gritty details of your life. And you can trust His way, even though His way may seem harder or more scary or more threatening. He can be trusted with your future and your family and with your faith. What is it you want so bad that you're willing to compromise? And would you be willing to trust your Heavenly Father with those details? One of the things that I'm excited that we're going to share this morning is that the culmination of this series is we're going to experience communion together. And I'll go ahead and invite the musicians to come on up. We're going to have this moment of communion, and part of the reason, and it wasn't necessarily planned intentionally, just for the end of the series, it landed on the date, is that communion, when we eat these small pieces of bread and we drink this juice, it has such a bigger meaning because it becomes the visual and the tangible reminder and example of the pioneer that went before us in Jesus, where it was facing the ultimate test of, do I trust my Heavenly Father? Because you have the moment that we just talked about with Satan offering to just give Him everything, and then you fast forward to a moment where He's isolated and alone in a garden, and He's praying, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. If there is any other way around this to get to this end goal, to get to this other thing that I desire so badly, the reason why I came, what you want, which is ultimately to offer you and I reconciliation with the Father, if there was any way that could be taken from Him to do so. But Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And then Jesus faced and did what none of us would have done. And what he faced in mock trial, flogging, torture, scorning, spit on, hit on, crucified unjustly, paying the price for you and me so that we could have peace with God, being the sacrifice, and that in his resurrection, experiencing something greater than could ever be imagined. And it's a picture. He went before us to set an example for us, saying, yes, trusting God at times will cost. There may be a price, but what we gain cannot be compared. So I'm going to pray. And then in the back, we have station back to my right and back to my left. And if you want to have a moment just in your chair, they're going to be singing, have some music just to create an atmosphere where you can just pray. Acknowledging God and his goodness and his gift that he has given in Jesus Christ, and for that thing where you recognize that here's an area of my life where I'm tempted to compromise. I'm tempted to get out from under the authority of God, and it's time for me to step that back and get completely under his umbrella and truly surrender, as uncertain and fearful as it might be, because again, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome to join and just go back whenever you want. If you want to go back with friends or family and get the elements and then go off to the side and pray together and then take it together, however you want to do it, you can bring it back to your seat. But then once you're done, just come back to your seat and hang out, and then we'll wrap up at the end, okay? Father, we can't thank you enough. We can't really fathom completely what it is that we've been saved from. But it was clearly something dramatic and huge enough that your son had to come and be that sacrifice to give us that opportunity to be that bridge that we could be reconciled with you. And I pray for all of us in this room, Father, because it can be so easy in our life to make little compromises where we shouldn't. It has been so true in my own life. And Father, I pray for all of us that you would give us eyes to see, that you would give us your mind and your heart, that as we face these daily decisions, that more and more, Father, that you would help us to see them for what they are and to have victory over them and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and how we see and how we think. And Father, we thank you for the sacrifice in Jesus, for what he was willing to do and what he did do and what he gave to be able to become our high priest and our friend, and that we could be restored to you. And so, Father, as we take these elements together, we remember the blood that was shed and the body that was broken for us. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.